We're going to talk about fear today. So, I don't remember how many were here at our last meeting, but Gail led us through an experience of visioning. And if you were there, you may want to think about a little bit about what we what came to you during that experience. And if you weren't there, it's easy enough. We all have dreams. Remember your dreams. And the purpose of a vision or a dream is to have something in your life that kind of pulls you forward. Now, well, you know, once you start doing visioning and having dreams, we start running into the things that hold you back and cause many people to stop growing. And we just went through all the four levels of consciousness that Michael Beckwith talks about in his Life Visioning series. And this is we'll probably be talking about those four levels of consciousness throughout the year. And it's really good because it'll give you an idea for upgrading your thinking. It gives you kind of a framework for pegging where you are at any given moment. And it might help you, you know, as you start to move forward in your vision, no matter, you know, how grand or relatively small your vision is. And if, you know, the other thing that could happen is we may start developing even more compelling visions. And it looks like the dog is getting wrapped around the table. So one of the things that often comes up as soon as we start having, you know, a dream that starts becoming more and more real is we often have fear come up, and it has many faces. And Holmes says that overcoming fear is one of the greatest adventures of the mind of man. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have an adventure today. So, at least in my experience, fear comes from some kind of change, you know, having to deal with a lot of new things in your life or an apparent lack of control. And the greatest fear, the number one on the fear parade is the fear of death and leaving behind those that we love. And the other two that are fall right behind it include the fear of lack of friends or health or economic security. And I have found that most of the treatment requests on the list are related to financial security and health. We really haven't had any to deal with death. Well, we have had some, but you know, that it's not as prevalent in this community right now. And the fear of loss of health, loss of friends, loss of property, it all comes from the belief that God is not all that we claim he is or she is. Omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And that comes from the Science of Mind textbook. So I want to talk about death first. We, as you know, we keep going on, and we have this individual stream of consciousness that is eternal. And we're ever expanding, we're ever growing outward and upward. And Holmes says that it's impossible to be contented in this particular life unless you're certain that your existence is going to continue beyond your physical death. I think that's one of the most important things that we need to have, is that understanding and the belief. And the fear of death is the belief, of course, that promises of eternal life that we hear about may or may not be true. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but many people grew up in their childhood with kind of the if you don't behave yourself, you won't end up in heaven. That sort of it appears in many guises. But there is a certain amount of fear of death because, you know, what if you get to the last minute and you haven't really led the best life you could possibly live, and you've been judging yourself, and you're really afraid to die because you don't know where you're going to be ending up. So there's that fear. Then we spend the first third of our life, normally we spend preparing for the rest of our life. We go to school, We learned some basic skills like sitting up, walking, eating, learning to use our bodies, figuring out who we are. Somebody at the door?
Yeah, it's a compressor that goes on and off.
And we get our first jobs, we may have our first relationships. But it's all about expansion and the expectation that something better and bigger is going to be coming. And so life at this point for many people is about expansion and newness. Now, you know, that's not like 100% universal, but in general there is this expectation that life is going to continue getting better. In the second third of life, we may get married and start a family and become entrenched in our careers, whatever they may be. And this can be a time of great contentment and satisfaction and kind of settling. And then the final third of life begins for many of us with a midlife crisis. Astrologically, it starts maybe in the late 30s and continues throughout the 40s. And you start to answer the question, what have I given up? What did I give up from my dreams of childhood? And you start, you know, you realize that you don't have, like on this physical plane, an infinite amount of time, and you start rethinking some of the things that you are, you wanted to do and maybe you're not doing right now. So you start letting go of some of the things that have been providing the structure for your life, such as jobs. You retire, you may sell your house and downsize, and your children may move out depending on when you had them, and so you start to see your life contracting. And for a lot of people that feels like it doesn't feel as good, because it feels like they're just losing things. It's a loss in life. But for us, it ought to be a time to prepare for an even more sublime experience. There are many people that consider this a time of liberation from the daily routines that we have had, and we can finally do what we want. So yesterday, I always get inspiration from operas, and I went to New York and I saw an opera called The Macopolis Case by a man named Janáček, who was Czech. And it was this fascinating plot about a woman who had been forced to drink a potion that her father had made to give the emperor, and he didn't want to take it because he was afraid that perhaps he was going to be poisoned. So he wanted his the man's daughter to drink it first, so she drank it. And she ended up living over 300 years. Wow. It was a eternal life type of potion. And so in this 300 years, she had many personas, she had many names, and many relationships, of course, and many children. And at the end of the, and so you can see when she first appears in the opera, she's got kind of a hard shell. She keeps people at a distance. And, you know, she's got a lot of secrets, but she finally opens up, and it's near the end of her life. I can tell you this, a little bit of the story, because you're probably not going to see it tomorrow or anything. You can see her opening up and starting to tell her story. And one of the last things she says, because the potion was running out, and it was her time to die, finally, she said, all of you who have normal lifespans are the lucky ones, because you get to live a normal life. When you have to go through loss after loss after loss, it is it's very painful, and that is what had caused her to be so hard until the very end. And so we could think of our lifespan as a gift. For many of us, a lifespan of 300 years is not something that we mentally could cope with. You know, how do we adjust? There would be so many things in society that would change if the normal lifespan was 300 years. So it was an interesting concept, and it made me realize that, you know, thinking about that the timing of our death is, you know, we may not be consciously aware of it, but it happens when we're ready to move on. And that we also know that life has no beginning and it doesn't have an end. And so even when our physical body dies, there's a part of us that continues living on and relationships continue. And so when you think about it, the fear of death is analogous to victim consciousness, because it's all about this happens to me, and poor me, I'm dying. And so when you think of it that way, it becomes a little easier to let go, because we automatically think of the higher levels of consciousness like being consciousness. And that's what helps us to realize that life is eternal and that we are God incarnated. So if we're moving on here with the fear of what others may think of us, we may start feeling inadequate. If you're one of these people that wants to please people all the time, and that another person's opinion of you is what's important to you, you can live with a lot of fear, because you're always wondering how others are judging you at any given moment. So while it's normal to be liked, what happens is if we get hurt by other people's actions, we can start to build defense mechanisms that ward off that pain. Just like the woman in the opera who lost so many people, she developed some pretty intense defense mechanisms, and she was sarcastic, and she would hurt others before they could hurt her. So the real truth of the matter is that we only need to heal ourselves from our own thoughts, and thoughts that others may not like us or they need to approve of us is something that needs healing. And we need to remind ourselves that spirit is within each one of us, and that we're made of the same stuff. Even when you're dealing with somebody who's telling really bad jokes.
Do you know anyone like that?
Hypothetically.
I don't have a clue.
If the shoe fits, wear it. Okay. If the sock fits, wear it.
I'm waiting.
Okay. And the last big of the big fears is physical suffering, which definitely can disturb our relationship with life. If you've got issues with chronic pain, I could tell you that it does affect your ability to deal with other people, because you've always got this pain that is kind of clouding your existence. But the best way to deal with it is to rid ourselves of fear, which may sound difficult, but a lot of times disease is a manifestation of some kind of resistance in our life. And we need to remind ourselves when we're dealing with a physical illness that God is everywhere and within us, and as God doesn't behold evil, neither does he know disease. And within each one of us, there's a great physician who's created us in his likeness, and I'm quoting from Holmes here. What this means is that our natural state is well-being and health. It's our thoughts and resistance that cause the body to become ill. And Abraham says a lot about illness and well-being, they say your wellness or your illness, your allowing or resistance, is something that's happening in the moment, so you can let it go. So in summary, fear is nothing more than the negative use of faith. And if you've ever taken foundations or other classes, that's one of the things I've got underlined in my Science of Mind textbook. Fear is faith misplaced, a belief in two powers instead of one, a belief that there can be a power opposed to God whose influence and ability may bring us evil. So if you're starting to feel like you're embodying the results of your visioning, and there's some change happening in your life, and you're starting to feel some fear, just relax. We need to realize that God is for each one of us, and the world is exactly as it should be at every given moment, no matter how it appears. And the biggest antidote to fear is treatment, which removes doubt and fear and lets in the realization of the presence of spirit. And it really is true. Give you an example. I had a water bill come in about 3 weeks ago, and it was $13,000. And that brought up a little fear.
Do you have an Olympic swimming pool?
Well, that, yes, I started, then I started doing some calculations and realized I would have had to have an Olympic swimming pool that I filled a couple times, and I would have had to have a leak that probably equaled Niagara Falls.
Wow.
So I did two things. I called the plumber over, he did his annual maintenance check, and he said, there's absolutely no leak at all. And by then I'd already called the water company and said, would you please rethink this bill?
That was subtle.
And lastly, I have a prayer partner, and I told her about it, and we prayed together and saw that bill was being torn up, and I put it on the treatment list, and I'm happy to say that my water bill, they sent me a new one, and it's only $81.
Wow.
That's more like it.
Much
better. I know. Exactly. I got lucky. My son's not taking baths anymore, so.
No.
While he may stink, my water bill's lower than usual.
There's positive aspects.
Yeah, but it did bring up a lot of fear in me. And the thought of having to shell out $13,000 was not something I was looking forward to. And yet I felt this, I was doing all the right things. I was treating. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to go away because there was no way I could have a bill that large. And indeed, I didn't. So it was great. So I guess in conclusion, I wanted to say that when you start giving as much energy to your dreams and to the vision that you've had, during the visioning process, when you give more energy to that than you do your fears, that's when the miracles will start to happen. So I wanted to talk a little bit about change and fear of change, and what I did was I took a little walk through the past, since it's our 10th anniversary. Our first meeting was held on the 5th of May in 2002, and you never guess, you will never guess who the musician was.
Moi?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Holy moly.
So to speak.
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's so cool.
I think so too. Oh my goodness.
And did you know that when you asked John to do it?
Did you?
No.
That's
it's
remarkable.
It's a wonderful synchronicity.
It is.
Yes.
And Connie gave our first talk on what is science of mind, which is great. And even in our first meeting, we talked about treatment works. And Connie's request was that we all see the Sterling Study Group as evolving into a loving and connected community. And I think that happened.
That's the original program right there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And in here, we had a little section on we handed out agendas. And we had a section called demonstrations. The inception of this study group has been a wonderful demonstration of a lot of prayer. We see this as an opportunity to create a community centered in spirit in providing love and appreciation for all its members and visitors. Is that far out or what?
Wonderful.
Thank you for doing
that. And back 10 years ago, I wasn't even living in Sterling. I was living in Alexandria, so I hadn't moved out here yet. Oh. Not that I live here now, but you think about it, we all went through a lot of change. Mm-hmm. And some of the original members still remain in this group, like David and Connie and John, and I guess Allison and Gail. Mm-hmm. And when Reverend Hillary comes back, she's still an original member. So there are a lot of people that have been with us from the beginning, and then gradually people have come and gone over the years. And we've had a policy of stay as long as you want, and as long as you're getting something from this group, stay with us. And so I always felt that when I saw people leave the group and move out of the area, that they were we had been successful because they were living their dreams. So it's been exciting to watch that. I remember a couple that was with us for a long time was Harriet and John. They were part of the original group, and they lived in Connie's neighborhood. And Harriet had dreamed of selling her home for a good price and buying the house of her dreams, which she did up in York, Pennsylvania. And they continued to monitor the group from afar, but they're no longer physically part of our group. And then there's been other people, Diane Menard, who's now living and comfortably retired in Texas. There's Phil and Grace, who've moved on down to Alabama to their a beautiful home they built, and I could go on, but you know, it. So many of us we've had lived through big life changes, and yet you know, we're living our dreams right now. Mm-hmm. So, and we, you know, one of the biggest changes we've had, we started out the first couple years we went through the qualities of God, and we talked about that, and the first meeting of every month we would have. Probably Connie is the main as a speaker, and then the second meeting of the month we would have panel discussions, and it would be anybody. They'd be chosen ahead of time, and we would talk about our experience with that given quality of God, and so that was really awesome. And then we started. I think we moved on from there, and we started going through books, right?
We did. Well, I think we did the LEU classes, didn't we? Did we do that before we did the books?
Uh-huh.
Change class and the healthy relationships class and the self-esteem class.
Done those, right? And lately we've for the past few years we've been going through books, and right now this year we're going through the Life Visioning series by Michael Beckwith. It's Up to You, and this is a very inexpensive book you can get on Amazon. And then we're going to finish up the year with a book on prayer. And the purpose of this year is to help us kind of take a pause, think about what it is we're looking forward to in our lives, and to talk about the tools that we need to use to get there. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Awesome.
And it's great. It's great to celebrate 10 years and remember the early visioning sessions we had in Connie's living room. We knew that we were going to form a community. And we were kind of birthed out of some turmoil that was going on, and then all of a sudden we formed this community, and we no longer thought of what had birthed, you know, all we could see was the good time we were having, and it's exciting to be a member of this community.
Mm-hmm. We have really good parties.
Mm-hmm. So that was all I had to say for today, and it's about break time. When we get back, I thought what we would do is we could talk about the past 10 years, because not everybody's been here for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Talk about it, and talk about the change we've seen. And if it involved a study group, talk about some of the changes that you felt associated with the study group. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would be a fun thing to do.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.